Well, hello everybody. This is Kate Beaters with the Forever Cali Project, and I'm really excited to be here with you today with another great interview full of really great information for you. And if you're new listening to one of my interviews, it's part of the Forever Cali Project. Cali was my almost 17-year-old beautiful Cairn Terrier. I said goodbye to her recently, and like many of you know, when you say goodbye, there's this huge empty gap in your heart, and Cali was definitely my heart dog. And I created the Forever Cali Project to help others who are either taking care of a senior dog or who have said goodbye to their four-legged child and, you know, get some support, because I think that can be difficult to get often when you do lose a dog. So you can go to forever-cali.com. That's forever-cali.com. You can hear more great interviews. And today I'm here with Richard Reeder, and I'm really excited because, you know, one thing that I went through, and I know a lot of you are going through too because I see these posts on Facebook, is, you know, I need to start looking for a Cairn, or I need to find another Cairn, and, you know, it's been a zillion years, and what do I do? Where do I go, and how do I even go about this? And I know that's what I felt, and so I'm really excited to have the man in the know, who's part of the Cairn Terrier Organization of America, kind of give us some good guidelines, since he is the contact, and you really get, you know, get some good information to help all of you who are going to be either looking for your first Cairn Terrier or another Cairn Terrier, and get some great info. So Dick, welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. So, you know, I didn't mention this to you before the interview, and I hope you're okay with this. Do you mind sharing just a little bit about your story about how you got involved with Cairn Terriers?
Sure. In 1991, I walked a friend home from a neighborhood dinner party. She had a toddler and a stroller and a bunch of boxes to carry. And we got to her back door, and there was a little black dog in the window, full view window, with a blue racquetball in his mouth. And Deborah opened the door, and he jumped out and spit the ball at my feet. And I said, "What a great dog." And she said, "He is a great dog. Do you want him?" And I said, "Yes." So I had two Cairn rescues before I went looking for a Cairn puppy. And I went to a dog show to find a puppy. I wanted to find a puppy from a good breeder. And before long, I found myself actually going in the ring with someone's dog. And hence, this is a slippery slope I've been on all these last years. I've been breeding and showing dogs. I've bred 6 litters in 15 years. I don't breed very often. And I have bred 8 champions of record to date. So I'm very proud of that.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Thanks.
And Cairns definitely do steal your heart. You know, I don't know. I'm sure there are other breeds that people feel the same way. I just really see the loyalty about people saying that this is my second Cairn or my third or my fifth or my seventh or my eighth Cairn.
Right.
We've had Cairns for 40 years, you know, all those kinds of things. So
right.
let's kind of just start, you know, I remember when I started looking after saying goodbye to Cali, and it was a little bit overwhelming. So what suggestions do you have, you know, kind of, if you can give us some suggestions to help someone start this process of finding a good breeder where they can get a puppy.
I think one good thing to do is to go to the Cairn Terrier Club of America website and look for mm-hmm. breeders that are in your region. Sometimes you'll need to travel. You'll need to get on a plane to get a puppy because there aren't that many puppies around right now. What's happening, I think, is that many of us who've been breeding Cairns for a while are getting older, and there are fewer litters being born in recent years, as because it's a lot of work, and you know you've got to stop sometime. But what I would recommend is looking on the Cairn Terrier Club of America website for breeders in your region. And another good option, or good thing, is to go to a dog show and talk to breeders at a dog show. We are kind of deluged with inquiries about dogs, about puppies, and, you know, it's really kind of a seller's market at this point, but that's my best option is to go to a dog show and look at that CTCA website.
And those are actually great. Everything you said is a great suggestion, because I know that every breeder I spoke to, no matter whether they were located, you know, in Massachusetts where I live, or New York, or Connecticut, or whatever, they all shared stories about how they had people flying in from, you know, of course this is before COVID, but you know, flying in, you know, from Canada or Europe or the West Coast and all that kind of stuff. So they definitely over the years have seen people travel to them, you know, to get, because they wanted one of their puppies. And also about the dog show is another great suggestion, because then you actually can see the dog, you actually can, you know, meet with the person. I know, you know, from the breeders I spoke to, they told me that a lot of times they get totally inundated. You know, they might be getting 50 calls a week or something. And obviously, you know, it's a little hard for them to talk to all 50 people. So if you can get face-to-face with them, that probably gives you a leg up, right?
Right. Breeders tend to be a little bit suspicious with many phone calls, because there are folks out there who are trying to buy a puppy that they want to breed, and we're very particular about our breeding practices. A good breeder will do a series of health clearances on their dogs to make sure we're breeding healthy dogs with good temperaments, not just pretty dogs. So we are very reluctant just to sell a puppy to just anybody. We want to make sure the person who's inquiring will provide a good home and not use the dog in a way that isn't really good for the dog or the breed.
Well, exactly. And the health testing, too, that you mentioned is super important. Callie, we found out, I got from a very reputable breeder. But it turns out Callie, we discovered at 10 weeks old, had CMO, which is a very rare disease in Cairn Terriers. And I think a few years after that, so about 14 years ago, my understanding is they started being able to determine and do genetic testing. So, right. You know, Dick, what you're saying is very important, is that you do want to ask the breeder, what testing are you doing on these puppies or on the parents, right?
Right. There's a disease called ocular melanosis, which is like glaucoma. And when I was first involved with the Cairn Club here in Minnesota, one of my mentors set up a clinic with an ophthalmologist, a canine ophthalmologist. And we did these clinics where there'd be 50 to 75 Cairn Terriers coming to the clinics. And the doc would examine them, and there were actually dogs in breeding programs that had ocular melanosis. And over the course of several years, all of those dogs were removed from breeding programs. So in Minnesota, we have very little of that disease around anymore, because reputable breeders have taken the time to do the right thing and remove those dogs from breeding programs.
And that's really important, because not everybody will take the time to do that, you know. And then we as puppy owners or dog owners, then we end up, you know, trying to take care of a dog that all of a sudden is getting these diseases, and it makes it very, very difficult.
Exactly.
What are some good questions that maybe, you know, you might suggest, maybe you've been asked, or you would suggest, or you like it when somebody, a potential, you know, puppy parent is asking you, you know, that you'd recommend the listeners think about asking?
Well, if it's possible, it's great if you can see the parents of the dog. You may not be able to see both parents, because often, like I just did a breeding with the dog in a different state, and so the dog's not near here. But it's good for you to actually see the mother of the litter, if possible, and if you can see the environment in which the puppy was raised, is a good thing also. If the puppy is being bred and reared in a pole barn somewhere, you know, it's probably not a good thing. So, yeah, those are two really important things, I think. You know, do some research on the breed and understand the care requirements of the Cairn Terrier. You know, they do require some maintenance, some weekly maintenance at least. Brushing teeth several times a week is really important, in my opinion. You can avoid some costly, you know, vet expenses by doing that. And I think that's all I can think of at this point.
So, but those are good things, and I think that's also an important thing to realize is that there is the work. I mean, and I learned a lesson, you know, lessons from Callie because she had the CMO. I couldn't really do much, you know, in terms of teeth brushing initially because of her jaw, you know, all the pain. And so this one, you know, Destiny, star who I have right now, I mean, since the day I brought her home, first I used my finger with a little toothpaste. So I got her used to, like, you know, having something inside her mouth, you know, to, you know, as so I do that, I do the brushing. And, you know, I learned a lot, you know, mistakes I
right.
made or wasn't able to do. And, you know, there is a lot of that.
But brushing teeth isn't that hard to do. And once the dogs get used to it, mine will, if I pull out the toothbrushes and the toothpaste, they're right here. They're ready to get their teeth brushed. They,
mm-hmm.
So it's, you can kind of, you know, train them very easily. And they learn from each other. If someone's getting their teeth brushed, then, hey, it's my turn next. You know, so...
Yeah, Destiny. Destiny Star has gotten used to too, and she likes the flavor of the toothpaste too. So
mm-hmm.
she gets all excited when she sees me hold the tube. And the toothbrush doesn't do so much for her, but when she sees the tube, then she gets excited. She knows something good is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you
That's
think?
Great.
So, just your thoughts. You've been breeding for a while. Do you think people can tell beforehand? And I know now with the COVID, you know, it's kind of crazy. You can't always. You know, meet the litter beforehand and all that kind of stuff. But do you think people can predict? You know how people used to say, like, oh, I'll go meet all the puppies and the one that comes to me is my puppy or, you know, things like that. Do you think there is truth with that? Or do you think the puppy just kind of takes on the personality of the home they go to?
Yeah.
What's kind of your thought?
I really think it's good for you to let the breeder choose the puppy for you. Typically, mm-hmm. if you want a pet, you want a calm puppy. I, as a reader, I'm showing my dogs. I want a little feisty one. I want one that's a bit of a pistol. And so I think I don't really believe in the puppy choosing their new home or the new owner. I don't think that. I think it's just. I mean, I don't know. I don't buy it. But so I'm. You know, but Karens usually have smaller litters. I've had typically three or four puppies in a litter. Some people have bigger dogs and they might have, you know, seven or eight puppies in a litter, but I pretty much know which ones I want to keep aside as show potential puppies and what is left, the ones that aren't quite as promising. They may not have a temperament for the show ring. The last litter I had a beautiful, there were three puppies and there was a girl who was really beautiful. But she did not have the right temperament. She was just kind of nervous on the table and rigid, and she would not show well, so I placed her in a pet home. The two I kept had lots of personality, and that's what I want for a show dog. But
yeah, and you know, I've heard a lot of breeders kind of say what you're saying too, and some will even tell me that, you know, they do questionnaires and because they want to match, you know. So if you live in an apartment, you know, versus if you live in a house versus if you are in the city or country or whatever, you know,
right.
what kind of your lifestyle is, they want to try to find, you know, that type of puppy that kind of will blend in well with that. So, you know, I totally get what you're saying. The last question I have for you is, and I won't hold you to it because, you know, things are constantly changing every day, but what do you think is a realistic amount of time? Like, you know, like sometimes people say, like, oh, I've been looking for a week and I can't find a puppy. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, you know, what do you, you know, just not to think people like sit there and think they'll never get a puppy. What do you think is like a realistic thing? So, you know, realistic amount of time so they can kind of set, you know, their expectations to match.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did a breeding recently. It turns out I'm not going to have puppies. There's no puppies in the, mm-hmm. no buns in the oven. But I've had people on my waiting list for 2 years. So, and I've heard of people waiting longer than that. It's mm-hmm. you're not going to get a puppy in a week. You're probably not going to get a puppy in your state unless you're lucky. I'm the national coordinator for the Karen Terrier Club of America for puppy placement and dog placement. And if I hear of a dog, someone either has a litter of puppies you know, I might be able to refer you to someone to get a puppy or maybe get an adult dog. But I have been able to place since the middle of September about six Karens. I had 36 calls. And sometimes people get impatient and they go to a different breed. And a few of them are still, there's probably a half a dozen or so who are still kind of waiting to find a Karen. So I would say be patient because it's not going to happen overnight.
And I would agree with that. You know, they're just, the Karens are very special dogs and there's just not an abundance of them. And I think it's important to set your expectations, understanding that you're not going to find a Karen in a week. And you know, and when you get that, then I think it's okay because you know, like, okay, it's going to take me 6 months or a year. And, you know,
the other thing is probably a good idea not to get too specific about what you want. I mean, I think it's okay to request a male or a female, but mm-hmm. I've had people ask me, I want a Wheaton with black ears and a black muzzle. You know, don't go there because, for one thing, Karen Terriers change. Their colors can change. If they have brindle coats, they're all going to get mm-hmm. dark eventually. And, you know, you're limiting yourself quite a bit by being real specific about color. So I would avoid
totally
that.
Totally agree. Totally agree. And like mm-hmm. you said, the colors change too. So you could think, oh, I'm getting a brindle, and then it could turn red or, you know, when I got Callie, she was solid black, like literally like jet black. And the breeder, because she'd been breeding at that time, like 25 years, she said, you just watch and see. Her paws will stay black. Her face will stay black. The rest of her will be brindle. And then when she turned brindle, Dick, and people saw her, they thought I got her highlighted like at a fancy salon because they saw the red and the gold and the silver and all this. I'm like, no, this is just what their hair does. And I think you have a very good point because I remember hearing, too, from breeders that, you know, people are upset because they've been waiting 2 years, but that's because they want that specific, you know, dog, and that just may not happen. So,
right. One other thing I would encourage people to ask about the health clearances that have been done on the dog. Responsible breeder, Karen, you know, AKC breeder of merit does whatever health clearances the parent club suggests for the breed. So I do about six different tests, eyes, knees, hearts, liver, kidneys, just to make sure I'm doing my best to breed healthy dogs. So that will pay off in the end. If you may pay more for a well-bred dog, but hopefully we'll avoid a lot of health care expenses down the road.
Or heartache. I mean, just thinking of Callie with the CMO, Dick, I was taking her to the vet like at least once a week, you know, to get pain medication and everything. And it turned out all the girls in her litter all had CMO as well, and they went to their vet. Oh. And it was just a year of heartbreak, you know, because
that's
we didn't know
if
she would make it or not make it, or, you know, the specialist said, I can't promise you we'll know it a year if she'll survive. And so when you have a breeder who's willing to take the time and spend the money to do testing, it's just going to save, you know, the puppy parents a whole lot of grief and, you know, pain in the long run. So thank you for doing
exactly.
that. So important. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm a Minnesota farm boy. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
I was going to say I'm a Minnesota farm boy, and I was a registered nurse for 25 years, so I'm all about the health piece, good animal husbandry, mm-hmm. and breeding healthy dogs.
And that's important, you know, for us to have the Karen Terriers, you know, continue for years and years and generations, so... How can people, you know, when they're ready, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you or to get more information?
If you go to the Karen Terrier Club of America website, you'll find my name and contact information, dickreeder49@usinternet.com. And I'm happy to talk to anybody who is looking for a puppy or a dog.
Well, thank you so much. And I think you've given us some really, I know you've given us some really good information, things for people to think about, because if you're like me and it's been 17 years since you got your last puppy, things change, you know, so it's important to understand, you know, what's going on and the best way to find that next family member of yours. So thank you so much for being willing to spend your time for this interview. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, and good luck with your puppy.
Thank you, and everybody, so on behalf of the Forever Cali Project, everybody, take care and keep listening to our interviews.